All right, so I just thought of this as I was sitting back there this morning. I'm trying to think about how to get this message introduced. And I'm not trying to pick on anyone or anything like that, but I need some volunteers, and they need to be kind of some specific people, and I'm trying to figure out who exactly they are at this point in time. Don Heinreich, would you be one of my volunteers for me? just to come up here. Would you mind coming up? Okay, thanks. Let's see. Jack, would you be one of my volunteers? Come on up here. Come on. See here. I need one more volunteer. No, definitely not you, Josiah. No. Drew, would you come on up here for me? All right. If you guys would just stand right here facing out that way. Okay, so at the end of the passage of Scripture that I'm going to be reading and preaching on this morning, it's in Luke chapter 2. And it's at the very end of this little part, and it's about the shepherds. So you guys are my shepherds, okay? So Don's like, I'm going to kill you. I can see it now. I am in so much trouble. This is not good. All right, so at the end of the whole scene that we've got going on here, it says in verse 20, it says, the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Okay? So you've got these three shepherds. Three shepherds. And they're going to go back, and they're going to be glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had seen and been told. Okay? So you got to understand, shepherds, I chose these three guys for a very specific reason, because all three of them are pretty stoic. Yes? I mean, they're all three pretty no-nonsense kind of guys who I don't know what I would have to do to get them excited. No, I'm not saying that at all. They're stoic. You know what I'm saying? They're serious kind of guys. They're fun. They're all this. But we've got these three shepherds, and I don't imagine these guys. You got to realize that shepherds, they're out in the fields all day. They're dealing with sheep all day, and it has to be something pretty amazing to get them fired up. You know what I'm saying? It has to be something pretty earth-shaking to get them going back and praising. It says glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. So here we go. You get to go back to your seats now.
Okay.
All right, no, wait. I want you to go back to your seats as the shepherds, glorifying and praising God.
I gotta say it when I walk back.
Huh? Just however you feel best describes and shows the amazingness that these shepherds experienced that night.
As I'm walking back.
As you're walking back. However you feel led to do that, okay? Give yourself a second. Get yourself in the right spot.
Okay.
You ready? Yeah. All right, go.
Glory be to God. Glory be to God.
Praise God. Praise God.
Everybody
heal God.
Woo! I'm so much trouble. I know I am. I'm not going to hear it. You will come back, right? So that was actually that was better than I really thought. You guys did a great job. So we got to get the whole story, because there's something really amazing that happens at Christmas if we let it. if we see it, if we hear it, if we really allow ourselves to experience what this season is truly all about. So let's read this story just with a fresh set of eyes. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 2. And we're going to look at it one more time. I can't see. I'm just looking at the time. I'm just trying to figure out how much time I've actually got here this morning. So Luke chapter 2, begin at verse 8. Here we got these shepherds. The shepherds are living out in the fields nearby. Now understand that they're living out there. It's not like they've got a home to go to every night, a shower to take, good hot food every night. They're living with the sheep day in, day out, night after night, day after day, with each other, with the sheep. It's not a pleasant environment. They are not the nicest people in the world. They are not that I'm not saying about my shepherds, because they're really nice guys. I'm not saying that. They were kind of grumpy people. If you've ever dealt with sheep for a very long period of time, you can make you very, very grumpy, all right? So you've got these shepherds. They're out at night, once again, watching over the flock, trying to protect them, trying to guide them to good water, good food, all these different things. And it says they're keeping watch over their flocks at night. And it says, all of a sudden, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified, as well they should be. I mean, they're out in the dark. We don't even understand what dark is anymore. Do you realize that? We have lost the concept of true and honest darkness because we have so many lights in our environment, in our culture, in our time right now. I don't think we really understand what darkness is really all about anymore. I know Randy, he always gives the illustration of going down in the caves and turning off all the lights down in the caves, down in the mines, and it's just absolutely black. You can have your hand right here in front of your face. You can't even see it. I remember when I was out in Wyoming during the evening and we were out at night and there are absolutely no lights whatsoever. And if it's cloudy, it is so dark. It's unbelievable how dark it is. But can you imagine being out in that night after night and you get used to it and you're kind of comforted by the dark and you see the stars and you've got some comfort from that. And all of a sudden, there is a light that is brighter than anything you'd ever seen in your life, brighter than any lantern, brighter than any candle, brighter than anything you'd ever seen. And it fills the entire sky. And there's a voice that's coming out of that light. I would be terrified, and they were terrified. They went from a ho-hum kind of night into, oh my gosh, something terrible is about to happen here. And all of a sudden, they hear out of that light a voice saying, do not be afraid. You've got to understand, that's kind of a pretty amazing thing when the angel says, don't be afraid, because he knows. He knows their reaction. And God, everything that this angel is saying is coming from God. He's not saying anything that God did not give him to say. He's following the script exactly as God wrote it down for him or gave it to him. And so God knew what was going to happen in the midst of this grand light, in the midst of this shepherds out in the field. He knew they were going to be terrified. He says, don't be afraid. Let down your guard. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, and he is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. He's talking to the shepherds. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly, it wasn't just one angel. It was a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, and they were praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. There's no way I can do that in such a way that would have the impact of a great company of heavenly hosts. I could not bring it out in my voice how majestic, how grand, how awe-inspiring that moment must have been when you heard a great company of heavenly hosts, of angels proclaiming the word of God to these shepherds. It must have been absolutely overwhelming. So many times I think we read this and we're just like, you know, yeah, the angels came down. You know what? I really think if the angels came down today, what would your reaction be? Can you imagine that night? Yeah, John took his phone and started to video it. So it would be overwhelming, wouldn't it? When the angels left them and gone into heaven, I remember we got this great light, this amazing, great company of angels, this amazing experience, and all of a sudden, it's black again. The contrast must have been incredible. Now here you have these shepherds, and they're faced with a pretty big decision. I'm sure they were looking at each other just the way Don and Jack were looking at each other, thinking, oh my gosh, what did we get into here? They had a choice to make. They could have rubbed their eyes and said, man, did you see that?
See what?
They could have picked up their little flask of whatever they were drinking that night and smelled it a little bit. What's going on? What do we do? That was amazing, wasn't it? But you have to understand, what was so amazing, what was so incredible, was not the thing. It was just a message to the thing. It was just a proclamation of what was really going on. The most amazing thing. And the shepherds were smart enough. So many times people put shepherds down. They were the lowlives of the community and all these different things. You know what? They were smart. Here's the thing. They were smart enough, brave enough, to do something incredible. They said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's go. Let's go see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. Think about that for just a second. What were they risking? In reality, nothing, because God sent them. But in their minds and in their culture, leaving their posts, leaving their sheep, traveling off to Bethlehem. I don't know how far Bethlehem was. I'm assuming it wasn't very far away because they were able to get there that same night. But they were willing to go and see. They were willing to take a step of faith. So they traveled. And they hurried off. And they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger, just like the angels told them. And when they had seen him, listen to what they did. They spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. Now, you got to remember, it's the middle of the night, we're assuming, or maybe it's close to the next morning. But these shepherds, they didn't just leave. They didn't just see them. Oh, yep, there's a baby. I've never seen a baby. He's laying in the manger. They left. There was something amazing about what they saw because of the message that they'd heard beforehand. And they went away from the manger, and they went and started spreading the news of what they'd seen and what they'd heard, what they'd experienced. They started spreading the news that there was a child, there was a Savior, that the Messiah had been born. And they had the opportunity to see and know him. And it says in verse 18, it says, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Verse 20, the shepherds returned. Here we go. You guys want to do it again? I will say no. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. They were full. I don't know how else to describe this last passage. But they were full of what? Joy. They were filled with joy. They were filled and overflowing with joy because of what had happened, not only with the angels and the whole experience, but because of the journey and their step of faith that they were willing to take to go and seek the child out. And when they sought the child out, they found him. And when they found him, they saw all that was said was true. And something happened with inside these shy, stoic shepherds who were better off most of the time off by themselves, who no one really wanted to listen to or associate with. Something welled up inside of them to a point where they had to proclaim to everyone that they met, and probably some people that they forced themselves into their lives, that the Messiah was born. They proclaimed what they'd seen and what they'd heard, what they'd experienced. And because they proclaimed it, it says they went back to the sheep, to their regular life, to the things that they knew they had to do. Not with the attitude of, time to go watch the sheep, but praising and glorifying God. You see, there's a source of joy that should be welling up inside of us in so many different ways during this Christmas season, because you have the same opportunity to come into the knowledge and the grace of Jesus Christ. You have the same opportunity to know this Jesus who was born in a manger, who died upon the cross so that we might have the forgiveness of sin. We have the same opportunity to receive an amazing gift that comes through Christ Jesus and Christ Jesus alone. And most of us know that. We've received the gift. We've accepted it. But something happens in the transition. You see, I think if there's not some way that we proclaim it, if we don't choose some way to step out in faith and proclaim the good news that Jesus Christ is Lord, if we don't let it be known that we've seen him and heard him and experienced him, that he's a part of our life, if we don't proclaim it, the joy is held down. It's held down. It doesn't have an opportunity to boil out and then infect and affect the world around us. We have to have some way to make our joy complete. 1 John tells about this, and I'm just going to touch on this real quick. It's one of my favorite passages. The very first sermon I ever preached, not only the first sermon I ever preached, the first sermon I ever preached here was on this passage. As a matter of fact, every place I go, every single time, wherever I go, if I go somewhere new, I preach this exact same sermon out of 1 John every single time because it is so true. Listen to what it says. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched. Does that sound like the shepherds? Does that remind you of them? Which we've heard in a grand scale with the angels, which we've seen. We walked to Bethlehem and we saw the baby wrapped in clothes, lying in a manger, just like it was proclaimed to us. Which we have felt and touched. This we proclaim concerning the word of life. They didn't just hold on to it, they proclaimed it. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it. We proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard so that you also may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 4, I love this. We write this, we proclaim this, we say this, we share this message, we tell all these things, we proclaim to you, we write this to make our joy complete. You see, just knowing it, just experiencing it, just hearing it, just seeing it is a wonderful and amazing thing. But unless you share it, unless you proclaim it, unless you find some way to express what you've seen and heard, your joy will never be complete. It's kind of like experiencing some amazing thing, good or bad. last week, Monday, I got to go catch cattle again. It's amazing how I can always bring that around to that, isn't it? So I got so beat up. It was the longest day. We started at a little after 7. We got in the saddles a little after 7 to gather up these cattle. We got back in the truck at 10 minutes after 1 in the morning. No food, no drink, no nothing. Is Wes here? No. I was the only one that stayed in the saddle all day. No, I don't mean that I stayed in the saddle. I mean, I was the only one who stayed in the saddle. Everyone else got dumped in some way, shape, or form. Messed up our legs. We were so beat up at the end of the day. It was just crazy. It was so much fun. I still have bruises. You should see my leg. I won't show it to you. It's kind of gross looking. But, you know, here's the crazy thing about this kind of stuff. I get to experience it. It's a lot of fun. But it's even more fun. It doesn't mean a whole lot unless you get to share it. Have you ever noticed that? There's something so important about sharing the amazing experiences that we have in life. It almost seems like it's not really real until you get to share it. It's the same way with your relationship with Jesus. The most satisfying, gratifying, joy-filling part of the experience with Jesus is getting to share it, to proclaim it. And you can do that in a lot of different ways. You don't have to get up on the stage and go, "Woo!" It doesn't have to come from your voice. It can come from a picture. It can come from all kinds of different ways of proclaiming that Jesus Christ is born. I'm going to share this with you real quick, and then I'll be done. Every year I do this, and every year I'm going to continue to do it because it touches my heart so greatly. I thank this church so very, very much. You are an amazing body of believers. And I am so grateful to be a part of this body because every year you indulge me. You allow me to make my joy complete at Christmas time by helping, by stepping up and being part of the live nativity with me. That is, and I can't express this enough to you, that makes my joy complete at Christmas. It's the one thing that fills me and overwhelms me and just makes my Christmas time complete. And it's because of you. And I thank you for being a part of it. And I hope in some way, shape, or form, it fills you also. Whether you make cookies, and by the way, we need lots of cookies this year. Or if you hand out hot chocolate, or if you're just filling the cups, or if you're making some soup and bringing in, or if you're trying to fit one of those stupid costumes over your body with all the clothes that you've got on, or if you're one of the people that helps put the clothes on, or if you're out there just encouraging people or sitting with people as they come in and visiting with them. You see, this Christmas season, we all need to see Jesus. We all need to hear the good news. We all need to experience what he has to offer in the body of Christ. And the amazing thing is, God designed each and every one of you who is here. He's designed you in such a way to proclaim, to shout out in some way, not necessarily with your voice, but in some way that Jesus Christ is born, that the Savior of the world is here. And he's waiting for you. However he designed you to do it, don't be afraid. Don't worry about the darkness surrounding you. Journey to the manger. Experience who he is. And then proclaim it. I encourage you to be a part of it in some way, shape, or form. proclaiming that Jesus Christ is born. I've never done this before because I don't know how to do it exactly. Did you write it out for me? No, I left my cell phone for my wife. Did you bring it? Very cool. Can I have it? If you have your cell phones, pull out your cell phones. Here we go. Got your cell phone? Okay, I'm going to give you a little lesson on cell phone. That's not, that's not going to happen. So everyone's got their cell phone. Show me your cell phone. Pick it up nice and high. Come on, everyone got your cell phone? All right, very good. All right, so some of you just have phones that makes phone calls, and that's it, and you're exempt from this exercise. All right? So on your cell phone, we have internet here. So on your cell phone, I'd like you at some point in time right now or while we're singing a song, I would like you to go to either the Facebook page. If you got Facebook and you have an account, I'd like you to get on your Facebook account. And I'd like you to go to type in search for Walnut Community Bible Church if you haven't done that already. All right, if you already know how to get there, that's good. Or if you don't have a Facebook page, that's good. You're way ahead of the curve of most people. So what I want you to do is just get on the internet, if you can on your phone or when you get home today on your computer, and type in walnutcommunitybiblechurch.org or whatever and pull up our website. And on our website, Sarah has this amazing link. Sarah, you did a fantastic job. I so appreciate all you do for us. I really do. There's a thing called Journey to the Manger, and it's a little advertisement for the Live Nativity this week. I want you to proclaim the good news of Jesus. I want you to copy that or whatever you do. I did it this week. Is anyone my friend in Facebook? Okay. I'm real active, aren't I? So I think I did this anyway. I think I posted it. So I would like you to post Journey to the Manger on your Facebook or however you communicate with as many people as you possibly can. And I don't want you to just cut and paste it. I want you to write a little note, however you want to write it, proclaiming the good news and why we celebrate this season. In some way, shape, or form, we need to allow our joy to fill us, His joy to fill us and overflow to the people around us. And it will make this season, this holiday, this glorious time be so much more full and meaningful. Amen? Amen. Wow, I made you get out your cell phones during church. Again, thank you to this body. And we do need lots of help this weekend. Even this week during getting ready. It sounds like we're going to have the best weekend ever. Is anyone else looking at forecast this week? This is going to be awesome. I don't think I'm going to have my pickaxe or anything to get the... You guys think I'm joking. I'm not. Dave, you can attest to this. When we've tried to dig out the holes for the live nativity stuff, I've had to get a pickaxe and shovels, and we've actually poured hot water on things trying to get the gravel off so we get the holes opened up. It sounds like it's going to be like 40 degrees this week. It's going to be awesomely beautiful. And next weekend, it's going to be awesomely beautiful also. It's supposed to be like just the perfect temperature to come out. The only thing that make it better is, I won't say it, but I encourage you to come out and be a part of it this weekend. We are going to have so much fun and so much encouragement from one another. And here's the neat thing. I forgot to tell you this. Trent called me this week, Trent Hostetler. And they're coming again this year. I don't know what night they're coming, but the Mennonites from over by Tampico, they're going to be coming one night this week, and they're going to be singing Christmas carols and piping it out there for everyone to hear. And what I can't tell you. I see his number come up on my phone, and I just start to smile. Because I know that the heart that they have is to come and proclaim the good news that Jesus Christ is born. Amen. If live nativity is not your thing, I ask Tracy, and it's okay, on Wednesday night, if you'd like to, If you'd like to come hang out with the junior hires and go Christmas caroling, we're going to have some hay racks, pulling people around, going around to the different areas of town and Christmas caroling. If you'd like to come out and be a part of the Christmas caroling, I bet Tracy and the junior high leaders would love to have some adults helping the junior hires sing and keeping that all in tune. So if you'd like to come be part of that, there's so many opportunities to proclaim the good news that Jesus Christ is born. Choose one. Step out in faith and make your joy complete. Let's stand and sing.